Senate Committee on Veterans Emergency Programs will come to order. Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think most of us find it hard sometimes when we have to follow orders or when we're told to do something and you need to do it even though you don't want to do it. And I thought this, and because we're getting to the time of session when sometimes we're having to say yes when we really wanted to say no. This is from Sergeant Major Andrea Farmer from the U.S. Army. She says, a lot of us have chosen the military as a career, and we are serious about what we do in that we really care and that we have to obey orders despite how we personally may feel. I did get a lot of different opinions from civilians and even my family, but I think that they need to be more understanding of who we are and what our responsibilities are and our obligation to our country and our chain of command. I just try to explain to them our position and that it's not necessarily our opinion. We took an oath when we joined, and we're going to obey the orders of those appointed over us. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Colleagues, members of the audience, and the public, we have a series of work sessions today and a series of public hearings. We're actually going to move HCR 22 to the top of the calendar, after which we're going to very quickly work through the work sessions and then the HGM and the rest of the memorials at the end of the subject. So with that, we're actually going to open a public hearing on HCR 22. Council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HCR 22 memorializes Specialist Taylor Daniel Marks.
And you're not at Guard Bureau. I read the National Guard magazine, and you should be there, saber in hand.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, things aren't going well.
Yes, sir. Chair Boquist, members of the committee, ladies and gentlemen, most importantly, the Marks family. My name is Major General Dan Hokanson, a member of the Oregon National Guard. I've asked to speak today because on August 28, 2009, I was a commanding officer of the 41st Infantry Brigade Combat Team in Iraq, the brigade under which both Taylor Marks and Earl Werner served. I'm here to provide my highest support to House Concurrent Resolution 22, recognizing and honoring Army Specialist Taylor Daniel Marks for his service to his country. At Taylor and Earl's memorial service at the chapel on Victory Base in Baghdad, Iraq, I began my remarks with the following words of Theodore Roosevelt. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows the triumph of high achievement, and at worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat. Taylor was not one of those cold and timid souls. He stepped forward into the arena to serve his state and nation, and he left an indelible mark, like his nickname, Sharpie, in all of us who served with him. Although it was over 5 years ago now, it seems like yesterday, for those of us fortunate to have served with him, Taylor is and will always hold a special place in our lives. That special place is evident on Memorial Day, Veterans Day, November 9th, and countless days in between. If you'd happen to visit Taylor's or Earl's gravesite at Willamette National on August 28th, you will find memorials left by those whose lives he had a profound impact on, lives who will be forever grateful to have shared part of theirs with them. Taylor Daniel Marks' selfless service, which took the ultimate measure, deserves no less than the utmost honor and appreciation of his state and nation, and every one of us who call these United States our home. Thank you for the opportunity to remember and honor such a great young man. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, General, for your testimony. As you're not with us as often as Mr. Stuckey is back there, we do public hearings the first week, and then we do the work session the following week to allow individuals to send comments and remarks in for the record. A lot of times on concurrent resolutions honoring soldiers, we do get quite a few remarks based on the hearing testimony. And that's the plan. Any other questions? Thank you very much for your testimony. I appreciate it. Thank you for your service. Is there anyone else that wants to testify on House Concurrent Resolution 22? If not, thank you very much. We'll roll this forward for next week and close the public hearing on HCR 22. And we have another member that's in the chamber, so we're going to open a public hearing on 2981. Is that correct, Council?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
If you would, please, Senator.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2981 directs the Department of Transportation to erect and maintain a roadside memorial sign for specialist Marbury, forgive me if I'm not saying that correctly, James Anders.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, State Senator Ted Ferrioli, District 30, and I will tell you that it's an honor to follow the Adjutant General Hoganson in tribute to one of our fallen veterans. Mabry James Anders was the son of Troy and Genevieve Wodziak from Baker City, Oregon. He grew up in Baker City, attended Baker High, and joined the Army in January of 2010. He was assigned to the 4th Special Troops Battalion, 4th Brigade Combat Team, 4th Infantry Division at Fort Carson, Colorado. Specialist Mabry James Anders was deployed on a tour of duty to Afghanistan in March 2010 and became a wheeled vehicle mechanic after his military education, which included light wheeled vehicle maintenance and mechanic course, was completed. He was also skilled in route reconnaissance and clearance maintenance and combat life-saving. He had completed all those courses and was rated appropriately for those specialties. He died on Monday, August 27, 2012, in Afghanistan. He was killed by enemy fire. Specialist Mabry James Anders was buried with full military honors at the Haynes Cemetery in Haynes, Oregon, and is honored at the Mountain Post Warrior Memorial at Fort Carson, Colorado. He received multiple awards and decorations, including the Bronze Star, the Purple Heart, the Army Achievement Medal, the Army Good Conduct Medal, the National Defense Service Medal, the Afghanistan Campaign Medal, the Bronze Service Star, Global War on Terrorism Service Medal, the Army Service Ribbon, the Overseas Service Ribbon, the NATO Medal, the Combat Action Badge, and Driver and Mechanics Badge. Anders was a student pilot, an avid horseman, a motorcycle rider, and was known for his wonderful sense of humor and his ability to persevere with his comrades in arms in all circumstances and conditions. What is proposed is that we install a road sign on Oregon Route 7 near milepost 36 in his honor to remind all who travel that route of his supreme sacrifice and his service to his country.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions, Senator Ferrioli? Seeing none, and Senator, we'll carry this forward as we is the normal practice. Next week, it'll be scheduled for a work session. I'll assume you'll carry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee.
Thank you. With that, we will close. Is there anyone else that wants to testify on House Bill 2981? With that, we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2981. We're actually going to open a public hearing on House Joint Memorial 9. If you would, please, Council and Representative.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Joint Memorial 9 urges Congress to recognize presumption of service connection for Agent Orange exposure of Vietnam War veterans serving at sea, around, or in the airspace above Vietnam.
We're all yours, Representative.
Thank you, Chair Boquist, members of the committee. For the record, Julie Parrish, House District 37, serving West Lynn and Tualatin, bringing you House Joint Memorial 9. This is coming from a group of Blue Water Vietnam veterans, folks who were on board ships and not necessarily always on land, who right now are currently being denied veterans benefits for Agent Orange. And so I don't necessarily love memorials and resolutions, and particularly ones that urge Congress to do anything, because they don't always listen to us. And however, what's unique about HDM 9 is there actually is a piece of congressional legislation. It's not in the bill. What the original memorial was supporting was a piece of legislation that didn't pass, and we wanted to urge Congress to introduce it again. They did. It's House Resolution 969. Congressman DeFazio is one of the chief sponsors on the bill to address the issue of the inequity that's been created in sort of an administrative rulemaking process around the VA, saying we're not going to acknowledge for service-connected level disability veterans who were Navy veterans, Vietnam-era veterans who were stationed in and around Vietnam, who can prove, effectively prove, that they have had exposure to Agent Orange as part of their service-connected disability rating. So we're simply just urging Congress to do it, especially since there is pending legislation on the table in Congress right now. This one's actually one that we might be able to let people know how we feel.
Thank you. Questions? Yes, madam.
Thank you, Representative, for bringing this forward. I love door knocking during my campaigns, and two different veterans from the Vietnam War said they really had to struggle to prove that their chronic disease was due to Agent Orange. And I can't remember if they had, I was looking at the diseases, I think it was Hodgkin's and one had Parkinson's. But the type of illnesses that they can that can result from this is type 2 diabetes, mm-hmm. non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, prostate cancer, multiple myeloma, early onset peripheral neuropathy, amyloid light chain amyloidosis, respiratory cancers, and soft tissue sarcomas. I mean, these are really significant chronic diseases that many times result in death, and anything that we can do to spur them on, because I think that the feds have dragged their feet for those that served during the Vietnam War and were exposed to Agent Orange. So thank you.
Chair Boquist, Vice Chair Mona Sanderson, thank you. And I got the note that you wanted to sponsor onto that, and we're happy to have you do that just for this reason. It is, you know, you think about our Vietnam-era veterans, they are, frankly, coming close to the end of their lifespan, and it's
not too close,
yeah. But we're
not really too close.
We're moving into that. We're moving into sort of the twilight years, and 40 years of not having properly cared for that generation of veterans. We can't compound that for the last 10 to 20 years. And when you're dealing with a veteran population that has service-connected diseases, then that lifespan is winding down even faster. We're starting to lose that clip of Vietnam-era veterans. We're seeing it with our Korean veterans who have these types of illnesses that come out of their service. And so the notion that we would make those folks wait and continue to wait after they've waited for 40 years from some kind of relief from their government for that service, it doesn't seem fair to me, and it feels like something we just have an obligation to do. So we'll hope that Congress hears us. And again, I normally hate, and I don't typically sponsor the urge Congress bills, but given that there is pending legislation, I think it's important that states do weigh in and let their congressmen know. And obviously, Congressman DeFazio's as a chief sponsor, hopefully can be impactful in making House Resolution 969 move forward in Congress. So,
thank you. Other questions? Not thank you, Representative.
Thanks. Back to my own committee.
The normal procedure, we will be carried forward until next week, and we have a work session. And you're in Veterans now, right?
Mm-hmm. We have the same time slot as you, right, which makes it difficult to come testify. We have to leave our committee to get over
is
here.
Is Representative Witt on that committee, too?
No, he's not anymore.
He's not. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it, and we'll schedule this next week.
With that, we'll close
the work or the public hearing on HDM 9. And, colleagues, we're going to go back to the top of our list here to the work sessions. And start down through the work sessions while we see if Representative Witt flies through the door here in a short amount of time. With that, we're going to temporarily, or at the point, we're going to open a work session at the top of the list on House Bill 2658A. If you would, Council, please bring
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2658A permits the siblings of service members killed in action to obtain Gold Star family license plates. You'll recall Representative Olson's testimony on the 5th of this month. There's a minimal revenue, minimal fiscal, no subsequent referral.
And it's everything, all the paperwork's ready, right?
That's correct.
Madam?
Chair Boquist, I move House Bill 2658A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair, Monica Anderson moves House Bill 2658A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? If not, so ordered. I don't see a senator on there, so I will carry the bill. And with that, we'll...
You're right. Wrong Olson,
right. We had that in our caucus discussion, too.
Close enough, right.
With that, we'll close the work session on 2658, and we're going to open a work session on House Bill 2892A, if you would please, Council.
Mr. Chair, Madam, members of the committee, House Bill 2892A requires display of the National League of Families POW-MIA flag, along with the state and the nation's flags, on all newly constructed public buildings and on all existing public buildings capable of displaying three flags simultaneously. You'll recall this one was heard last week as well on the 5th. No revenue impact, minimal fiscal impact, and no subsequent referral.
Chair Boquist, I move House Bill 2892A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves House Bill 2892A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing as there opposition, so ordered. Madam Vice Chair would like to carry this bill. Please note that for the record. And with that, we'll close the work session on 2892A. We're going to open a work session on HCR 1. Council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HCR 1 recognizes Lance Corporal Joseph Rodewald. This was heard last week. Again, that was Representative Olson. No revenue impact, no fiscal impact.
Madam?
Chair Boquist, I move HCR 1 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves HCR 1 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing none, so ordered. I'm looking for a residence on
Eugene.
I see Eugene.
It can be filled in later as well.
Yeah, I was Senator Olson. I believe this was brought by Representative Olson, which is in Senator Gelser's district, but I don't know that this individual is in that district. So we'll reach out to Senator Gelser if it is in his district. If not, would you be kind enough to carry this?
Sure.
Thank you. So ordered. HCR 1 is closed. HCR 2 is open for work session. Council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HCR 2 recognizes Corporal Corey Weens and his military working dog, Cooper. This was another of Representative Olson's from last week, the 5th. No revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
Chair Boquist, I move HCR 2 with a be adopted recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves HCR 2 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. I do note that this individual is from West Albany High School. That actually is in Senator Gelser's district, too. Not Thatcher.
Okay.
So, Senator Olson, you're going to double hit here.
Tell you, dog.
So, if you look at this, I believe that the second one here, Senator Gelser actually will pick up because it is in his district. So, if not, I'll pick it up with you. With that, we'll close the work session on HCR 2 and open a work session HCR 3.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HCR 3 was the third of the resolutions honoring fallen soldiers that was brought by Representative Olson. It recognizes Sergeant Ian Tawney. There's no revenue impact, no fiscal impact. It was heard on the 5th also.
Chair Boquist, I move HCR 3 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves HCR 3 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Their discussion? Seeing none. Any opposition? Seeing none. So ordered.
Do the same thing. I'll do it.
I'm looking through this to see.
It'd be Sarah Gelser's again.
It is in that district. Okay, we'll ask Senator Gelser. If not, then either Senator Olson or I will carry it. With that, we'll close HCR 3.
Mr. Chair, if you don't mind, I'll discuss it with her this afternoon.
Okay, that's very good. I appreciate you volunteering to do that. Please get back to council. With that, that closes out all of our work sessions, and we're going to move down to public hearings. House Bill 2426A. We'll tee it up, council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2426A updates statutory authority for and language for current 911 emergency systems consistent with modern communications technologies. It declares an emergency as effective on passage. There's no revenue impact, no fiscal impact, and no subsequent referral. Left the House Committee and House floor both unanimously.
Chair Boquist, members of the committee, I'm Dave Stewart, Deputy Director of the Oregon Military Department, former Director of the Office of Emergency Management. With me today is...
Good afternoon. I'm Mark Tennyson with the Office of Emergency Management, and I'm the Director of the State 911 Program at OEM.
Serena Hewitt, Assistant Attorney General, Oregon Department of Justice.
Chair Boquist, members of the committee, 2426 is our legislative concept. It's something that we created in terms of trying to enhance our authorities and responsibilities in maintaining and providing a network for the 911 system. Our current statutes exist today, and it's tied to current technologies, both in basic 911 as well as enhanced 911. What we're trying to do with this bill, ultimately, is to try and make it technology agnostic to ensure that whatever technology in the future comes down the pike is something that we'll be able to implement with the statute that's enclosed in 2426. There's a couple other little changes that Mark Tennyson's going to be addressing, but in the end, what this is doing is it's trying to enable us and the Office of Emergency Management in support of the PSAP community and the 43 PSAPs across this state in order to develop a system or have the authority to develop a system to support the public and the PSAPs in the 911. And with that, I'll close and turn it over to Mark Tennyson.
Thank you. Chair Boquist, members of the committee, last year approximately 1.6 million calls, 911 calls were made in Oregon. However, our current statewide 911 system, as Dave mentioned, relies on a very outdated
network. Who are you again?
I'm sorry, I'm Mark Tennyson with OEM.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. So we have a very outdated network, which is near end of life, as our manufacturers have advised us, and it was developed more than 40 years ago. It's very old. The frame relay network provides 911 callers physical location information, and it's, as I said, near end of support by 2017 in June. After that date, the network will not be supported by a vendor at all. So that doesn't mean that we won't still be able to have 911 calls, but we can't replace that equipment. We won't have the ability to do that. Under the direction of the governor's December 1st, 2014 proposed budget, OEM, as directed, is working with Department of Administrative Services and the Office of the Chief Information Officer to release a request for a proposal so that we can facilitate the replacement of this aging network by migrating to an internet protocol network, which will allow us to eventually update and move to some other technologies. Currently, the statute that governs 911 emergency services, ORS 403, strictly defines basic and enhanced 911 services. It effectively limits the ability to reach 911 to voice calls only, really based on the old mobile telephone technology. More importantly, the current statute does not authorize OEM to move the state forward to the use of any additional technology at all beyond voice call to reach a public safety answering point. House Bill 2426 is intended to make the statute technology agnostic and give OEM the necessary authority to move the state into the future. It is written in such a way that the flexibility of the current technologies that cannot reach 911 today, such as text, messaging, as well as future technologies as they become available. House Bill 2426 does not impact the state's ability to complete the frame relay replacement project. We can do that today. We have the authority to do that today. But any technology, as I mentioned before, beyond a voice call is all that we will be able to put onto that network. Other drivers for moving to a new digital IP network include high, heavy public expectation for their ability to reach 911 by various other methods beyond voice call in the future. The Americans with Disabilities Act has advocated for several years for the deaf and hard of hearing community for their ability to reach 911 via text, and it's paramount in an emergency. Today they have a very outdated, it's a relay system, TTY, very, very old and outdated. In addition to allowing the accommodation of other technologies on the network in the future, this bill also revises OEM's authority to provide both direct pay or reimbursement to a PSAP that qualifies per statute from our enhanced account today. This will help the PSAPs to be able to receive the not have to front the cost, basically. OEM would pay directly. Also, as we move towards a less specific technology verbiage in ORS 403, OEM will have expanded rulemaking authority in our OARs that will cover both enhanced and 911 as well as the future technology as well. So we'll have more of the authority in the rules to allow us to put specifically what we need to do. But as the statute is written more high level, we won't need to come back and continue to do a rewrite of that statute year after year as the technologies continue to evolve. OEM and DOJ worked together with legislative counsel to draft the bill. And those meetings were, we did that work primarily in the summer and fall of last year, 2014. After the original bill came out, there was a few suggested revisions that came to light and that we've worked, that are now reflected in the engrossed version of the bill through the coordinated efforts of Leg Counsel, DOJ, and OEM. These revisions really were cleanup of definitions and some additional language that will help provide clarity. That concludes my testimony. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Counsel, you're on the clock. Do you have anything?
Chair Boquist, members of the committee, she's just here to help us answer questions, specific questions that you may have.
Oh, I don't remember Second Lieutenant or Carla couldn't tap dance as well as you, so you probably don't need her on the clock. I would remind you, though, that, you know, most people don't know what agnostic is. And Mr. Tennyson, Ma Bell, we might get that up here, but most people on the internet out there have no idea who Ma Bell is either. They're thinking it's your grandmother. I can remember, as some people hear, that, you know, we used to have crystals for our angry 109s as we crank them. So things have changed considerably.
Yes, they have, sir.
Madam Vice Chair, questions?
I have a question. When you were talking about the DEF and the TTY system, what is replacing the TTY system?
So what it would really be a text message.
Yes.
To 911 directly.
Oh, okay. So you can text.
Chair Boquist, members of the committee, the answer is there is nothing. This bill is just basically a policy. This enables us to make changes in the future. We do not have authority from the DAS CIO, from the governor's office, or from you to move to next generation technologies. And so we hope or anticipate that will happen in the 17 to 19 biennium. All this is doing is setting the stage for us under new technologies in order to go to that level. We want text 911. We want to be able to have the citizen that's crying for help be able to send a photograph or anything else to a PSAP. But right now, we do not have that technology. It's currently named Next Generation. Who knows, 10 years from now, it could be called something else. It could be called Mumbai, India, for all we know. But that's what we're trying to do is make certain that this allows for us to position ourselves in the future.
Well, having a follow-up, having a deaf sister, and she's married to a deaf man, and they're in their 70s now, but very critical.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Senator Courtney, questions? Senator Olson, questions? Nope, thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Groner, Mr. Hatch, if you would, please. Is there anybody else that wants to testify on House Bill 2426A? I see the likely suspects all sitting around in the room being quiet, so.
Chair Boquist, committee members, Larry Hatch, I'm here today representing Oregon APCO NENA, and I just want to let you know I was appointed to an FCC task force of 25 people across the nation on a optimal PSAP architecture is what they've assigned us to come up with. Two things I've made them well aware of that are happening in Oregon. One is our outstanding training program that we have going on at DPSST for our telecommunicators. The other is this bill, because this is an issue that people are struggling with across the United States, is how to write language that you don't have to keep coming back every 3 to 5 years and saying, oh, we didn't know that was going to hit us. So Oregon Apgonina is very supportive of this because I think it's looking into the future, and we won't be back in front of you again, hopefully. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Distinguished members of this committee. For the record, my name is Ralph Groner. I represent AFSCME. That's American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees. We represent a variety of PSAPs from Portland, BOEC, to CECOM, Mike Clackamas County, to elsewhere in the state, the employees. I'm not as knowledgeable as the wonderful people who preceded me because Mary Botkin handled 911 for about 30 years that I've been around here. But Mary now has her own agency, and I now have some of her assignments. But having been a county commissioner when we created CECOM in Clackamas County, all I can remember is a war that went on between, damn it, I don't want to join that. I want to keep my own system from everywhere from Oregon City, where I live, to West Lynn, to Lake Oswego. Canby was never a problem, Senator. 13 cities fighting, fire districts fighting. But we have a wonderful system in Clackamas County, but we also have a wonderful system at BOEC, that's Portland Metro, and so forth. And we have wonderful systems in rural areas. We're here to support this measure, as I believe, in short, it provides a framework for us to move ahead with what's necessary in the future. And to me, it has to do knowing my members and how they work their fanny off. Is the fact is, if we upgrade and do the very best we can, which you're doing and others are doing, in the long run, what this means, we will actually save more lives and save more property. It's about the public and their safety, and to do that, we've got to make sure we remain ahead of the curve. So we wholeheartedly endorse this measure, and we appreciate your help in this matter, and if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Questions, Senator? Don't see any questions. You're off the hook here, Ralph. I would just put on the record that, you know, this remains part of the key issue to upgrade and consolidate and to make those good public employees have the best equipment. We obviously need to retain stuff in the savings account downstairs or on the first floor down here so that we can upgrade to 21st century and be able to locate individuals and do that technology, things that Senator Courtney, to my right, cares about. With that, we appreciate your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to testify on this bill? If not, we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2426A and move to House Bill 2919. Open a public hearing on that. Mr. Hatch, if you would come forward. Council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2919 removes the requirement that the Office of Emergency Management coordinate with PSAPs and law enforcement to collect emergency contact information for cellular service providers. There's no revenue impact, a minimal fiscal, no subsequent referral. This also comes over from the House committee and off the House floor, both unanimously.
Chair Boakman's committee members, Larry Hatch, representing Oregon APCO NENA. Last session, the Kelsey Smith bill was passed and put into law, and it was based on a horrible incident back in Kansas where location information was delayed for 4 days. And when this bill was proposed, APCO NENA was asked if we supported it. As the bill read at the time, we had no concerns with it. However, we advise that this wasn't a problem for us in Oregon. I did a poll of most of all the PSAPs in the state, and we were averaging about 6 to 8 minutes for us to get that information. We have to fill out a form that we send to the wireless carrier to prove that there's a need for it because they won't just give it to you. And then we log it into our computer-aided dispatch systems as the incident keeps going along. So the information is recorded. When the bill was passed, there was an amendment made to it that required OEM to build a database to record the data at a state level, and then would require the dispatcher to go onto a website to again record the data for a third time. So our request in this current bill is to do away with that third reporting leg and just leave the Kelsey bill, Smith bill stand as it was when it was initially introduced. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Questions, Senator Vice Chair? Mayor Olson?
Yes. In the past, when I was doing a 911 bill on sweeping the 911 account, I had a newspaper article that talked about a lady in Georgia that was involved in an accident, and she called in her exact location, but a different 911 center picked it up and couldn't find her on the map. Is there an overlap with the 911 districts that they can see in other people's territories, or do they just kind of end at a line someplace?
Senator Boquist, Senator Olson, you're exactly on point. That was the problem. It was when they tried to enter it into their computer-aided dispatch system, their GIS data ended at their county line. In Oregon, I can't speak for all PSAPs, but I know I can go clear up the Hood River on the map in Washington County. I can go south down to Albany, so I surround our area at a large area. Just for that reason, because depending on what cell tower the call goes into, that's what directs it to the PSAP that's going to take that call. So it's really important that that happen. That wasn't the case in the call that you're talking about.
Follow-up question, please. You probably remember back a couple of years, one of my goals was to get the Diamond backup system for PSAPs, so that Washington County could back up Clackamas County or Multnomah County or whatever. Would this bill assist in that, or would it not?
Chair Boquist, Senator Olson, no, this bill wouldn't. I think the previous bill would have more effect on that, and my knowledge of, while they can't say next generation 911 because the state, that office hasn't been approved for it, that's one of the biggest goals that will come out of that as well, being it will be an IP infrastructure that connects those. They're talking about things that blow my mind as far as, I don't know why I'd want to send my calls to Butte, Montana, but that would be possible. Once they got there, I think they might struggle with them. But here, to bring it back locally, that system will have default routing built into it, so you won't have to have another building somewhere or anything like that.
Thank you. Sarah, also, you get your question answered, or you want me to bring someone up from OEM? Pardon? You want me to bring someone up?
Oh, no, OEM? I'm fine. That's fine. Thank you.
Sarah Courtney, questions?
Nope.
Madam? Okay. Thank you very much. Is anyone else that wants to testify on House Bill 2919? Seeing no eager respondents, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 2919. We do have House Joint Memorial 3 that's up today, colleagues, which is Representative Witt's bill. Obviously, I don't see Representative Witt, but for formality purposes, we will open, he was apprised, we'll open a public hearing on House Joint Memorial 3. Council, if you'll at least brief us on this.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Joint Memorial 3 urges Congress to enact legislation requiring stabilization of crude oil prior to transport. The background is that approximately 700,000 barrels of oil a day are transported by rail out of the Bakken, I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, region of North Dakota and Montana. Bakken crude oil has been shown to be highly flammable, more prone to ignite than traditional heavy crude oil. Stabilizing crude oil from that region and elsewhere by stripping out flammable natural gas liquids would improve the safety of transporting the oil and greatly reduce the risk of combustion. So the memorial asks Congress to enact legislation to that end. There's no revenue impact, no fiscal impact, and no subsequent referral. And it, again, it came off the House, out of the House committee unanimously, and the House floor vote was 48-3 nays, and 9 were excused.
Colleagues, since we don't have Representative Witt here to ask questions for, I think we will roll this forward for a second public hearing and possible work session next week. And if Representative Witt wants the bill, then he can come testify or send someone who can at least explain besides council here of what it is they would like to do. Everybody in concurrence there? With that, we're going to close the public hearing on House Joint Memorial 3. Council, I don't believe there's anything else on our list, is there?
That's it.
Colleagues, believe it or not, that's almost a record. So with that, next Tuesday, if anybody has comments on any of the work sessions other than House Joint Memorial 3 that we just discussed for next week, please let myself know or the vice chair know so that we can make a determination because we will schedule them for work session. Thank you. With that, we're done for the day. Thank you. Thank you. With that, we're done for the day. Thank you.